Welcome back to the latest edition of Treaty Talk. Once again, I'm delighted to be joined by Matt Kellen of the Weekly Observer and Vale Star. It's another bumper weekend in the Limerick calendar. We have our first adult final of the year, the Premier Intermediate final between Kildare Palace Skinnery and Mungo St. Paul's. And Sunday night, you have both senior hurling semi-finals. You have the senior hurling relegation final, intermediate semi-finals, intermediate relegation final, the last round of the Junior A Championship, ladies football semi-finals and senior and intermediate, and the second semi-final in the Camogie Championship. It is going to be a brilliant weekend of action. And as two advocates of the Premier Intermediate Hurling Championship, we'll start there with the final between Kildare Palace Skinnery and Mungret St. Paul's on Sunday evening in the Gaelic Grounds, live on Limerick JTV. I said you'd start the championship match, or start the championship match when they met in Clarina. I said, you saw the final. We have it now again on Sunday. I certainly can't wait for it. How would you see this one playing out?
Yeah, I suppose before we start, Jack, talking with Michael Reardon in the week, and he was saying that there are 48 games on over this weekend, which is absolutely phenomenal, and it's fantastic. And like, if you told us that back in April or early May that we would have this kind of a scenario during the year, we would have been very, very, very happy, because we were at a point of despairing that there would be no games. Yes, Jack, I concede to you. You did say it right at the very start that we were looking at a potential dress rehearsal of the final. I was at one of the semi-finals last week. It was covered on, both were covered on Limerick GA TV. I was covering the Kildare Palace Skinnery Bruff one. And I had a slight feeling before the game, having seen Bruff during the group stages, you know, that they would make it, and, you know, that they could possibly get over the line in this one. And, you know, they had a cause from last year when they suffered an 11 points defeat. Certainly, I don't think it was, Jack, it was in anybody's script what transpired in Kilmallock last Saturday. What transpired is we just saw what I could only describe in commentary as an awesome, absolutely awesome display by Kildare Palace Skinnery. And it was a day, all right, you could say, it was a day when everything went right for Kildare Palace Skinnery. but that is simplistic, and that is to detract from the performance, because they simply made everything go right. The big players stood up, like Kyle Hayes. How many more times are we going to have to say that here in this? Like it's like a chorus at this stage. He was unplayable, and like the goal he got towards the finish was one for the ages. But when you come to the knockout stages of a competition, you want your big players to stand up. And this, you know, you look at Kyle Hayes, look at his brother Keane, look at Barry O'Connell, look at Peter Nash, look at Darren O'Connell, and everybody around them responded. Like, it was an awesome team display. And I certainly, for one, did not see it coming down the line. Now, Bruff, with all due respect to him, did not play near their potential. But to what degree was it they weren't allowed? Kildare Palace Skinnery obviously had their homework done. And Natal O'Grady and his backroom team, like, you know, you could say to a certain degree that Kildare Palace Skinnery's form coming into the semi-final was a small bit indifferent. They lost to Mungret St. Paul's in the first round. They didn't root up any trees in round two and beating Cappamore. Now, they were awesome in round three again, but it came with the caveat that Brewery were really struggling. And that has been confirmed since, because Brewery have since been relegated. So, like, while SAS Brewery came in with three, not comprehensive, but convincing wins over Knockaney, Drummond, Atlaca, and Glenroe. And that's what fed into my thinking that it would be a very, very close game, and that Bruff were in with a right chance in it. But whilst Bruff didn't reach anything near the level of their performance that they're capable of, that they weren't allowed by a Kildymo team. It strikes me as a Kildymo Palace Kenry team that are single-minded. And it's single-minded in winning this title. They've been beaten semi-finalists in 2018. They have been beaten finalists last year. Like, and since they came up, they have only lost two games in the group stage. Like, they have taken to the Premier Intermediate Championship like ducks take the water. Like, it's been a phenomenal story. And you know what, Jack? Losing last year's final may not have been the worst thing that happened to them. They're now a year older, now a year more experienced, and if they get the better of Mungret St. Paul's, I would think much better equipped to make the step up to senior. Now, Mungret St. Paul's, we slightly favoured them. You probably favoured them more than I did against Glenroe, because I know what Glenroe would bring to the table. And I wasn't discounting a Glenroe surprise. And, you know, that was on the cards with a matter of minutes to go. Glenroe really, really put it up to him. But like, here you have on Sunday's final, you know, there can be no doubt about it. Probably, without question, the two best teams in the competition. And I suppose going on recent performances, the forum teams, because I suppose Mungret put it up to Glenroe and they responded. And I suppose it's a better way to win a semi-final with a stern test than it is to win it easily like Kildymo Palace Kenry did. But, you know, Mungret St. Paul's really had to pull out the stops eventually to beat Glenroe, which they did. So, and like, it's a fantastic, it's going to be a fantastic week if you're involved with Mungret St. Paul's. Like, it's a great club that's on the way up, and like, they contest the Premier in intermediate final on Sunday evening, and 3 days later they contest the Premier Minor Hurling Championship final. And it gives you a sense, and I suppose it gives you a certain amount of explanation as to why they are where they are. It's the hard work that's been done in the background and is being done up through the different age groups. Now, in many ways, I suppose Mungret St. Paul's being in the final represents a certain amount of a breakthrough for them, for the simple reason that they were beaten semi-finalists for the past 2 years, and that getting that win over Glenroe has taken certainly that monkey off their back. So it will be as if they will go into Sunday's final liberated. Now, they will have the confidence of having a victory over Kildymo Palace Kenry. And the records show that meetings between these clubs have been very, very, very tight. Very, very tight. The only defeat inflicted on Kildymo Palace Kenry in their maiden year up in 2018 was by Mungret St. Paul's. So, like, this is going to be very, very close. If you ask me to call it, I think Kildymo Palace Kenry probably have the bigger players that can influence the game with the players that I mentioned. They have, you know, the motivation of avenging the first round defeat. But above all, Jack, they have the motivation to atone for the defeat after a replay in the county final last year. So, and based on their semi-final performance, which if they're repeated in the county final, a lot of the senior teams in Limerick wouldn't stand with them. I'm giving him a cautious vote to win it. It'll be a great final between two great hurling teams, but it put me on the spot. I'm calling Kildymo Palace Kenry.
Yeah, it certainly should be a great final. When you look at the three games they've played since, obviously Mungret came up, won in 2016 intermediate and Kildymo in 17. When you look at the combined scores in their three games, 5-43, to 155, which equates to 58 points apiece. Like, there's nothing to choose in the teams. I was looking up to see Mungrett in Brough while you were in Kilmallock watching Gillan Pellet Skinnery, and they probably were below par, but as you said, it's a monkey off the back getting through that semi-final that they fought in the last 2 years. I've seen each of their semi-finals now, and they haven't really played their potential in any of the semi-finals, but got over the line. They're probably a bit over-reliant on Paul O'Brien throughout this year. And to be fair to Jimmy Barry Murphy, you know him well, he did a very good job in Paul. But other players stepped up in his absence, and I think that will count for Mungrett. I think Kildyme will go in as favourites, and deservedly so, after probably their form since they came up in 17. Like, they will rue last year against BlackRock. They won't want to make it 2 final losses in a row. But I just feel like this Mungrett team, that semi-final, and a tough semi-final will do a lot more for them than Kildyme Palestinery's blowout. So I would give a cautious vote for Mungrett.
That's the point I did make. I would always prefer going into a final to win a tight semi-final, because it has you battle hardened for that big day. But it'll all depend on how both sides will acclimatise to the surroundings on the day. Like, it's going to be surreal surroundings, in that you're going to be inside in the wild expanses of the Gaelic grounds, and no attendance and no supporters. That's an argument for another day, and it's a hot argument at the moment, and rightly so. But there are so many factors that can feed into it. But looking at them all, and I suppose, you know, the real one guy that is definitive is Foran. And like, Kildyme Palestinery seem to have timed their run to perfection. It was a comprehensive win over Brewery in the final group stage, and they built on it against much stronger opposition in the semi-final in Brough. So I'm going for Kildyme Palestinery.
Yeah, look, we'll wait and see. I think Shani Barry, the Mungrett manager, summed it up well. He said, finals take on a life of their own, and it'll be decided by fine margins, and that definitely will be the case. Oh, yeah.
No doubt. Games between these are always decided by fine margins.
And then moving on into the Senior Hurling Championship semi-finals, there's going to be nothing but fine margins in these four teams. The same four teams 4 years in a row, and I'm sure you'll touch on that coming into it. Firstly, at 5:30 on Saturday in Gaelic grounds, you have the meeting of Kilmallock versus Doon. Kilmallock obviously won both their group games and are probably the foreign team coming into the semi-finals. They play a Doon side who really have been very hampered by injuries this far, but again are at the last four and are a very dangerous opponent for Kilmallock.
They certainly are very dangerous opponents, Jack, because despite the crop of injuries that Doon have had, particularly during the group stages, they refused to be beaten. They were involved in two draws with Adair and Patrick Swell before they faced up with South Liberties. And of course, they got a real test from South Liberties, a twofold test, if you like, because South Liberties had the wind in the first half and more than matched them and were leading late in the half. Plus the fact that Doon lost the services through injury of Darrow O'Donovan, like, who was a huge, huge loss. And like, Darrow O'Donovan had been settling in nicely at centre back in the absence of Richie English. So now Tony Ward will probably have to go back to the drawing board, depending on the health of Darrow O'Donovan. One would hope that we will see Darrow O'Donovan on Saturday evening, because all big games need all the big players. And we know we can't see a Richie English. We're reconciled to that. But we would certainly hope that whatever injury Darrow O'Donovan picked up, that he will have recovered from it in time to face Kilmallock. Now, these are familiar opponents over the years, Jack. And I suppose, looking at the records, you'd have to say that they don't read very well for Doon. Kilmallock seem to have the upper hand. Now, they got a win there a couple of years ago, 17 points to 10. They drew last year over in Brough on a day when it was Doon's to win, actually. Howdon conspired not to win the game. I don't know, but that is what happened. Now, Kilmallock, like, got off to a flying start with that win over Na Piarsaigh. And they followed it up with a win. It looked for a long time in the game against the Han that they were going to, you know, they were going to run away with it. But Han staged a late recovery and closed the gap considerably, which will raise questions in Tony Considine's mind. And I don't think he would be too worried about it, insofar as that he's had an opportunity to address whatever failings occurred in those final 20 minutes. But again, it looks, because of the injury situation with Doon, that like Kilmallock hold most of the aces here. But like, we have two extraordinarily experienced managers in the respective camps. Like, with Tony Considine, like, Tony Considine hasn't proved anything to anybody. He has won counties in Limerick with Gareth Spillane and with Kilmallock. Tony Ward in the Doon camp has won All-Irelands. All-Ireland Camogies with Galway, 1997, and again 17 years later in 2014. So these guys know what it is about winning big games. And you spoke about fine margins, Jack. This could come down to a very, very fine margin, this particular game. And it might be one switch that's made from the sideline. It may be one substitute that might influence the outcome of it. The pointers are towards Kilmallock. The fear for Kilmallock in beating the Piarsaigh, did they peak very soon? Too soon. Like, there is no doubt that despite everything, all the injuries and the absentees, that Doon have shown a resilience and an improvement as the campaign has gone on. And like, they have been boosted. They have been boosted by winning the Premier Under 21 Championship. And there are four or five players on that team. So like, what you're looking with Doon may not have won a Senior Hurling Championship, a Limerick Senior Hurling Championship, but they have a damn lot of winners on their team. I'm going for Kilmallock, but very, very cautiously, Jack. And you will find me in that vein today, cautiously giving the nod. I think Kilmallock would probably have enough just to get over the line. But a stroll in the park or anything for Kilmallock like that, forget it. This is a Doon team. They're well organised. There is a togetherness. They're working hard for one another. And like, they've serious players, like the like of Michael Ryan, the like of Dennis Maloney, and all these guys. Like, they've been around the block. They can bring on the Jack Ryans. They can bring on the Mikey O'Briens. Pat Ryan is back playing in great form. Barry Murphy's in good form. Like, you know, this is, you're speaking about these guys when you have eliminated those that are not available. And that kind of talent and that kind of experience is still going to be on the field. I think it's very, very close. I give a cautious vote to Kilmallock.
Yeah, I'd probably cautious I would Kilmallock as well. And if I was to give a reason, it's probably Graham Mulcahy in two words. I don't think there's a more consistent hurler, club hurler or county hurler in Ireland. I've never ever seen him below par for Kilmallock. And I think this year, again, just exceptional performances. And I think he will be the difference, help Kilmallock get back to the first final of 2017. In the final, whoever makes it, Doon or Kilmallock, they'll play either Na Piarsaigh or Patrick's Well. Patrick's Well obviously won it last year. Na Piarsaigh got five titles in the last decade. It was the final last year. It's just set up to be an absolute cracker of a game between two powerhouses of Limerick hurling.
Yeah, before I get on to the powerhouses, I just say how I couldn't agree more with what you've said about Graham Mulcahy. Like, his performance at club level has, and at county level for that matter, has been extraordinary for the last number of years. Like, and, you know, if you're looking for a match winner from this remove at that first semi-final, that's your man. He's been awesome in the couple of games that have been played so far. In the first round against Kilmarnock, he was absolutely fantastic. You may have identified what the trump card in that game is. In Graham Ball, he certainly will have a big say on what will happen anyway, you know. Yeah, the two powerhouses meet in the semi-final. They met in the final in 2015. I think the Pearcy just edged it, and Patrick Swell edged it last year. Patrick Swell are going for three victories in a row over the Pearcy. They beat him in the group stages last year. They beat him in the county final, so they're going three in a row. Many clubs can say that. Over the last decade, that they're going for three in a row on the Pearcy. But Patrick Swell are the champions, and it probably is an advantage to the Pearcy. And this is an age-old argument which we've been debating, the value of playing a quarter final as against going to and earning your right to the semi-final as distinct from going into the semi-final directly. Which Patrick Swell are doing. So Patrick Swell will be coming into a certain degree cold, and whilst the Pearcy will have the advantage of that game against Ballybrown. There's no substitute, Jack, for a game, because it gives you an opportunity to iron out certain things, and you, no matter what the result is, when you see guys in a championship setting, in a competitive setting, you can identify shortcomings, you can identify flaws, and you can address them. So from that point of view, put Kieran Carey, like, he has worked wonders with Patrick Swell, insofar as he has assembled a very, very formidable side. Having said that, and I'd say he'd be forced to agree himself, that in the group stages, they have not come near the level of performance that propelled them to being county champions last year. But that said, Kieran Carey will probably be timing his run to perfection, and we're probably going to see the best performance of the year out of Patrick Swell on Saturday evening. Like, if you look through the teams, look through the team, and without wanting to name call or roll call the names, but like a lot of those big names on the Patrick Swell side, and they're dotted all over the pitch. You know, Patrick Swell were county champions. They were county champions for a reason last year. County champions for a 20th time, because they are an extremely good side. Now, I know that they will probably have been disappointed at the manner in which they went out to Ballygunner. And certainly it was something immediately after the final last year that Patrick Swell focused on was the Munster Club Championship. But we're stepping ahead of ourselves now. That is the little matter on Saturday evening of facing the five times champions in the last 10 years. And what can one say about the Pearcy that hasn't been said before? The way, the comprehensive way in which they dismissed Ballybrown last Saturday evening. And like, you must remember that this is an a Pearcy side without Shane Dowling. Like, is the most, probably their most influential player, their spiritual leader. But we saw him on Saturday evening, and I'm absolutely convinced on Saturday evening that they came nowhere near full gear. Once they had the job done, they seemed to change into containment gear and just play out the game. They probably had one eye on the Patrick Swell game once it became clear. Now, all right, Belly Brown were without two key defenders in Mikey Kiley and Cullen Coughlin. And I think that was something that Napier Sheik exploited from the very start of the game. We saw the influence of Peter Casey, who was immense, absolutely. Conor Whelan, who had a huge game. Like they went about the reorganized defense, and they went about unsettling them, and I'm saying that in the best possible way, and succeeded in doing so. I think Peter Casey had he 5 or 6 points up on the board by halftime. And the game was over as a contest. In terms of its competitiveness, it probably was of little use to Kieran Birmingham and his backroom team, in that it was all too easy, all too routine. But it was a game. Now, Patrick Swell, of course, are going to be a huge step up. I reluctantly, I'm saying, going for Napier Sheik, because unless Patrick Swell produced a top class performance, I think it's going to be very, very hard to stop Napier Sheik. And I'm giving him a, dare I say, a cautious vote to make it through.
Yeah, I think it's unwise nearly any time to go against the Napier Sheik, but that's what I'll do. I just fancy Patrick Quill. I think they would have looked at their group, saw Adair and Doon, especially without Rich English, and figured they would have got through one way or another. They've had a few weeks. I know they haven't had the game, but they've had a few weeks. And with Graham McKay for Kilmallock, Patrick Quill have Aaron Gillan, and he's kept them alive this year. And if he can keep going, and the likes of Keane Lynch and Dara Burns, Mark Henry, Josh Constein, all those guys, if they can bring up their levels, I think Patrick Swell will make it three in a row. It's very close. And if the Pearson hit top form and Patrick Swell hit top form, we could well see penalties on Saturday evening, because there's just so little to choose between these excellent teams.
We could be there all night, Jack. I'm very, very cautious about it, because if Patrick Swell strike their best form, because as you rightly said, they have the material. There's no doubt about it. Like, I saw Patrick Swell in the trenches, you know, and looking to have no way of getting out of them when they trailed it there by 8 points, 10 minutes into the second half. And we saw what Keane Lynch could do at that point. Like, it was Keane Lynch and that rallied him, and to a certain degree, Aaron Gillan, like the Dermot Burns, the big players, they stood up. But you see, they're going to be matched by big players on the Napier Sheik side. Like the Mikey Caseys and the Peter Caseys of this world, the Willem O'Donoghue's. It's an enthralling tie. Like, as I say, on current form, I'm going for Napier Sheik, with the caveat that unless Patrick Swell put in one hell of a performance, which of course is in him.
Yeah, it just promises to be a great game with great players on the show. And hopefully we get a good game, but I can't see anything other than a great game between two great teams. Then at the other end of the championship...
And of course, again, Jack, there'll be no attendance there, but a puck of a ball won't be missed by hurling fans. Just tune into Limerick GA TV.
Exactly. And there's an ad if you ever wanted one. But at the other end, obviously, of the senior hurling championship, you do have relegation final this Sunday between Adair and Ahan. Obviously, you don't want to see any team relegated. There is a golfing class in this competition. Adair have put it up to both Patrick Swell and Doon, who were in semi-finals. Ahan probably fell away against Bolton and Pearson and Kilmallock. Like, it looks straightforward that Adair will maintain their status. But in a relegation final, one game, anything come true, but you'd have to be siding with Adair. Stay up.
I suppose it's squeaky bum time for all four clubs on Sunday. You're right. Adair, they haven't succeeded in breaking into the top four. But I have seen measurable improvement in Adele year on year and year. We'll say for the last 3 years, like Adele on her side going very, very much in the right direction. They have won the county under 21A championship this year. There's eight of that under 21 players in the squad. Now there are a number of them on the team. And they're bedding in nicely to the team. Now, Adele, to me, are a work in progress. The work in progress has moved on since last year. They are becoming better equipped. Ahan, of course, like suffered a huge defeat to Napiershig. And were on course to doing the very same against Kilmallock before they found a late rally, which closed the game considerably. And at this point, you just ask yourself, which or where is the real Ahan? Because again, they have good young players coming through, but it's probably a bit too soon. But what is alarming about it, Jack, and you touched on it, and if I can digress for a second, it will be the second year in a row, if not the third year in a row, that the team that went up has immediately come back down. South Liberties went up at the end of 2018, found Senior A Championship a very, very unforgiving place in 2019, came straight back down with five defeats. Ahan haven't got a victory yet at A level, even though it was a truncated version of the championship. But the one worry I have, and it's an annual worry at this stage since the inception of the A and the B championships. They were brought in for the best of reasons and the best of motives, to try and have as many clubs as possible playing at their own level and hope that it will provide a bridge for those coming out of Section B into Section A to close the gap. In the last 2 years, with regard to closing the gap, it has been an absolute failure, Jack. There were high hopes this year that Paddy Brown in particular, and this is no disrespect to South Liberties, that Paddy Brown in particular were best equipped to finally close the gap and make a serious go of it in the quarterfinal. Unfortunately, that did not happen. And with regards to closing the gap between A and B, unfortunately, the gap is as big as ever. And that in itself is disappointing, because like I suppose in fairness, you can look around at formats, and I'm not being parochial now, and I'm as Raph Rocker accuses me of having green mist in my eyes, but there was none of that when I say that I think the structures of the Limerick Championships are as good as you'll get anywhere in normal circumstances. But we're not in normal circumstances at the moment, but in normal circumstances, the A and the B of your five games, and you know, it's the best, but it hasn't succeeded in bridging the gap, and I think that is a bit disappointing. Now, getting back to your original question, it's so long ago I've nearly forgotten what it is, Jack, but it's more or less calling a day and a hand. I'm with you on this one. I'm on your page on this one, that I think that Adair will have enough to survive. I think it's disappointment. It's going to be disappointment for a hand. I think they're going to be back down in Section B again. And they're not going to be happy with it. But it is what it is. And I just think that Adair probably will probably have enough. And we spoke earlier on about the potential influence of Graham Mulcahy and Aaron Gillan in the senior semi-finals. Add Willie Griffin to that category. like Willie Griffin on his day is just a scoring machine that wins games on his own. And he could be him. Like Declan Hannan is playing very well with Dale. Ronan Connolly settling in very well at centre half back. There's a lot going for Adair. Probably Adair, more than anybody, have been adversely affected by not having five group games this year, having two instead of five, because the way we saw that they took on Patrick's Well, the way they took on Doon, could they have been poised to be the club that would have broken the top four? Possibly. But they have a fight of a different hand, of a different kind on their hands on Sunday. I think they'll get over it.
Yeah, you'd have to fancy them. Obviously, you have intermediate semi-finals as well. And just before we get on to intermediate semi-finals, you'll have Brough in the intermediate grade next year after they lost the relegation final to Drumnet Laca. After so many years at the top, like, just to see Brough in intermediate as a shock. Brewery,
I was out at that game on Sunday, and actually coming into it, I fancied Drummond at Lackey, if you recall last week, and I told you why, the presence of a big player, David Reedy. Well, if you score 114 in a relegation final, you are a big player, an important player, and of course. There was a major turning point in the second half of that game. Now, the game was on a knife edge. Brewery were ahead 10, 12 minutes into the second half. When in a five-minute spell, and I think we should note this, James Kelleher, the Drummond attacker midfielder, hit four exquisite points. He hit two in a row in 2 minutes. There was an exchange of frees between Ron O'Halloran and David Reedy, and he hit two more in a minute. And they were all from 70 metres or more. And that, to me, was like, it changed the course of the game irreversibly in Drummond at Lackey's favour. At the end, Jack, and for the last 10 minutes, there was only going to be one winner. It was a question of a margin. It is a sad day to see any club being relegated. Very, very sad day to see Brewery being relegated a short 14 years in the very same venue where they were crowned senior hurling champions. But the situation in Brewery, Jack, is such at the moment that practically with the exception of Daniel Lane, Kieran O'Rourke, Michael Lane, and James Vincent O'Brien, all the 2006 panel have now moved on and have retired. Some will say that probably some of them stayed on too long. But it's a Brewery side that's in transition. At one stage this year, they had five new players in the first round in their forward line. And a couple of them are settling in very well now. I was very, very impressed with Sam Connolly on last Sunday, making some a very, very good young player, and his brother Tommy and Jimmy Leslie, Matthew Howard. Like, but these guys, they're young, and they need time to bed in. And perhaps it may not be the worst sentence that could be imposed on Brewery to have to drop down. Then it'll be an opportunity to regroup. At least for most of this year, Jack, they really weren't competitive in the group stage. Like, they got a chastening from Kildymo Palace Kenry. And like, what good is that? You know, you can survive by the skin of your teeth. And what do you want more of the same? You're probably better off to step down a level and regroup. And like, they have young players coming through, like Ronan O'Halloran, like, is a top, top class free taker. He will punish anything that the opposition, any discretions of the opposition. And on Saturday, on Sunday last, when they were 7 points down, he hit five frees in a row without reply from all distances. So, look, all is not lost for Rory, but there's another relegation final on Sunday, Jack. A very, very interesting one between Mauro Bóthar and Gary Spillane. And that is a repeat of the 2017 Premier Intermediate Final, which went to a replay, which Mauro Bóthar won. And Gary Spillane, of course, atoned for it the following year when they came up and won the county, beating Bruff in the final. At the start of the year, Jack, I certainly didn't see that coming for these two teams. I don't think many would have had. Now, Gary Spillane, and I'm not being an apologist for Gary Spillane here now, they're my neighbours here, but they have been absolutely riddled with injuries. And they haven't had the opportunity of coming near feeling anything like a full team. Like, right from the get-go, Mark Quinlan wasn't available. Mark Quinlan, this is the Mark Quinlan now that has broken into the Limerick senior squad. So, like, they were struggling right from the start, and like other players have suffered injuries. They're without James Ryan, and James Ryan is struggling to be fit. And like, James Ryan is their spiritual leader, former Limerick captain. Their situation was such, going into the final group stage. The Ryan brothers, Davy and Donny, who have given it so much service, sterling service over the years, had retired, and Donny was pressed back into action, for the game against Ballybowen. Such was their lack of numbers. And at that stage, they had six or seven frontline players out. Now, the injury worries have eased somewhat, but far from fully. Like, there are going to be three or four key players still out. And I think that tilts it very, very much in favour of Mauro Bóthar. Interestingly, they actually met in the County Cup final last year, out in Martinstown, and Gary Spillane won that. And it's going to be a relegation final. It will, as you said, take on a life of its own. But I think that Mauro Bóthar just have about enough to survive. And at the risk of being repetitive, we talk about potential match winners. You know, they have one in Shawnee Tobin, like, who will find the target all day. And you know, the more indiscretions Gary Spillane commit, the more he will revel in it. But beware, Gary Spillane have Dylan O'Shea, who is an absolutely outstanding marksman, and who was one of the ones that was on the injury list. So if Dylan O'Shea is one of those that has made the recovery and back to full fitness, it certainly will close the gap. But I suppose overall, I'm just giving it to Mauro Bóthar to survive.
Yeah, you would side with Mauro Bóthar slightly because of those injuries, but you'd be hopeful that Gary Spillane's injuries worries will subside somewhat. So just to get a fair reflection of the teams, but one team will go down. Brewery are obviously gone down to intermediates. Just on Brewery for a second, we saw Adair go down in football a couple of years back, responded straight away, went intermediate football and won two senior titles in a row. So hopefully Brewery can follow suit. But yeah, they will.
No, there is another game we're missing there, Jack. I suppose we could talk all day, and that is the B promotion final between South Liberties and Ballybrown. And we'll be brief on that one, because we have discussed both clubs. Well, we have certainly discussed Ballybrown. Certainly South Liberties, they had a peculiar season. They won no game in the championship last year, lost the first round to Mona Lee in this year. Looked to be on course, you know, to going through the group stage, the truncated group stage with no win, and then pulled out a win against Maroubor. And it looked as if it wasn't enough until Maroubor defeated Mona Lee in the final round and threw Liberty's lifeline back into the knockout stages. And to a certain degree, they grabbed it. Now they faced Paddy Brown at the weekend, and I honestly think Paddy, both sides are probably wounded from last weekend. That there's no doubt about that. But I would suspect that the wounds in Paddy Brown are that little bit raw, it's a huge week for Paddy Brown, just like it is for Mungret. Like they won the minor A championship last year, they're in the Premier Minor final this year, next Wednesday night. It's a huge, huge win, week for them. I'm going for Paddy Brown to make the step back up.
Yeah, you would fancy Paddy Brown, and on the grand scheme of things, it was disappointing for both sides in the quarterfinals. But whoever comes back up, you can look at a successful year that they've been senior. But I would be edging towards Paddy Brown in that. I'm going to go on a limb and say we've no more senior hurling action this weekend, that we can now focus again on intermediate championship. In the semi-finals, kind of like the senior semi-finals, we have three of the four teams that reached the semi-finals last year. Obviously, Glenrue were promoted today, weren't within a shout. You have Croom and Newcastle in a repeat of last year's semi-final. You have Fiona versus Na Piarsaigh. Fiona obviously replacing Glenrue in that stage competition. Newcastle West probably are the form team when you consider last year getting to the final this year, back there with three wins. Fiona having come in quietly after going down a couple of years back. And then again, how many times have we mentioned the Piarsaigh second team in the semi-finals intermediate championship? There's little to choose between the teams, but who do you see rising to the occasion and reaching the final?
I'm going for Newcastle West and Fiona. I'm going for an All-West final. I saw Newcastle West last weekend, and I saw Croom last weekend. I saw Boreham in their quarterfinals. I honestly thought that Paris Green was a banana skin for Newcastle West. And for a stage in the second half, Jack, it looked as if that would be the case, because Newcastle West led by 8 points at halftime, having played with, you wouldn't say a strong wind, probably a stiffish breeze, if you want to categorise these. Miss Cusick, I suppose, in the Met Office would have a name for it. But there were 8 points up at halftime. Palace Green turned over and in jig time had reduced the margin to a single point, and at one stage levelled. And all the momentum seemed to be with Paris Green. Newcastle West's defence was under pressure, but they conjured up a very, very good goal. And like in Brian Nix and in Dermot Morgan Kelly, like they had two real match winners. Like they scored 3-12 between them, the corner forwards. But they conjured up a goal and like it changed the course of the game. And like from that point on, backs got on top and limited Palace Green. Palace Green's momentum was gone. They were suddenly becoming frustrated. They were throwing everything at them. And it was a great show of resilience on the part of Newcastle West. Now, they play a Croom side that for the most part against Kilmallock last week were pushed all the way. Like there was only 4 points in it, and there was only a single point in it at one stage after Kilmallock getting a fine goal from Killian Hayes. But they came back, they regrouped, Dara O'Farrell got a goal to cancel it out, and they saw the victory. Now this is the second year in a row, Jack, that they have met in the semi-final. They met in the semi-final last year, and Croom, who were runners-up the previous year in 2018 to Drummond and Clacker, winked into that semi-final very hot favourites. But Newcastle West won it. And I was at the game and deservedly won it. Were full value for their win. But I have a sense that history is going to repeat itself. They meet again in the semi-final, and it looks like we're probably going to see the same result. Like Newcastle West, and it my own club are involved in this now, in that they beat them in the final, and certainly, I think there's a sense in Newcastle West, and I think it's well-founded, that they didn't do themselves justice in last year's final. And they seem to be on an atonement mission. There seems to be a great togetherness between them. There seems to be a great unity of purpose between them. I like what I saw. I like what I saw in particular when Palace Green laid down the gauntlet to them. And they responded. It showed a new mental strength and resilience in my view. And it's definitely a progression for Newcastle West. I think they'll overcome Crome. It won't be easy. Now, Conor Ellis is in the form of his life at centre half back for Crome. Marco Reardon and Stephen Lucy, they continue to turn back the clock. Certainly age is not on their side, but they seem to defy those odds. When you pick guys like that inside around your team, and they've plenty useful players around, it could go anywhere. But I'm going for Newcastle West on that one. In the other semi-final, I've seen the Piercing a couple of times. You'd say I have an Piercing bias. I could watch them all day, the way they play hurling. They have a beautiful style of hurling. The lines have been cleared now, Jack, for the Piercing at this stage. Because I give you the scenario. In the first round, which I saw him playing, James O'Brien at centre-half-back, and Kieran Kennedy. O'Brien in particular were absolutely immense. They were promoted to the senior team, and they were replaced by Alan Dempsey and Kyle King, who in turn have been promoted to the senior team before they played hospital. So, the will they, won't they situation is over. Emmett Benson has his squad now at this stage. They've got over hospital Heberstone for the second year in a row. They're back into the semi-final for a second year in a row. Now, I'm not surprised. The only thing that surprised me about Fiorhana is that Fiorhana weren't in this situation last year, because they were relegated at the end of 2018. And the expectation, and well-founded, if you look at the Fiorhana squad, was that they would make an immediate return. And when we, of course, we can't talk about the Fiorhana squad without talking about the marquee player, Seamus Flanagan, and what he brings to the table. What he brings to the table for Limerick as well, and not to mind Fiorhana, huge, huge player. And in an intermediate setting, huge player like that can make such a difference. I'm going for Fiorhana to win it, but it'll be close. And I think we're going to have a mouth-watering all-West final between Newcastle West and Fiorhana.
And if that was true, it would be a fascinating final. But regardless of who comes through in the last four, there's four top-quality teams in that grade to see who replaces Brewery in Premier Intermediate grade. Then at the other side of things, we have another relegation final this weekend in the Intermediate Championship. You have St. Pat's versus Grana Ballingarry on Sunday in Carina. Probably neither team would expect to be here at the start of the year, but this is where they find themselves, and they've won game to save their season, essentially.
They have. Thanks be to God, Jack, we're running out of relegation finals.
No.
They have. And going into the relegation semi-finals last week, Jack, I fancied that Effin would beat Grana Ballingarry, because I saw him in their game with the Piercing. And I did make the point last week that I thought they were distinctly unlucky in that particular one. Now, also, I fancied St. Pat's to beat Tournafulla. and but they didn't. And we now have this situation of, like, Pats have been up since 2017. They won that marathon final with Kilmarnock. It went to a second replay, you will recall, when they eventually won it in Brough. Glenapell and Gary have been up for 22 years. It's 1998, I think, since they last played in the junior championship. Garrod Hegarty is in the St. Pat's lineup. Big, big player. And we have the wily old fox in the Glenapell and Gary team, and called Donal O'Grady, who knows a thing or two about winning matches and big, big matches. I'm going for Glenapell and Gary to survive, Jack.
Look, they probably do have the experience at that level, but again, there's going to be fine margins in relegation finals. We have the final round then in the Junior A Hurling Championship. Things are a lot clearer now. There's still 24 teams, so they won't be very clear until this weekend is over. Looking at Group 1, Castletown Ballygran are 4-4. They're true. They play St. Kieran's in their last game. It will mean little or nothing to Castletown Ballygran. They're guaranteed top spot. Doon are guaranteed a second place. They are on 6 points. Caroline can catch them on points, but Doon have the upper hand in that head-to-head. Yeah. Looking at the bottom end of the table, then you have Kieran's, Ballybrown, and Garry's Clan all on 2 points with difficult games. How would you see that group playing out at the bottom half, with the top half completed?
Like, it's been resolved at the top, as you say, in the Castletown, Ballygran, and Doon are through. It could be resolved at the bottom on Friday night, because Garry's Clan and Doon are playing on Friday night ahead of the rest in Kilbreedy, and Doon had a huge win over Caroline at the weekend, and it was make or break for both sides. It was a winner take all game, and as you said, the configuration of the table is such as a result of it is that you have Doon on 6 points, Caroline on 4. Caroline can catch him, but they cannot catch him on the head-to-head. Doon look to be the farm team. They've only suffered one defeat. I think Doon will win that, and it probably will copper fasten Garry Spillane being involved in the relegation playoff, because the scenario at the moment is they're tied at the bottom on 2 points with St. Kieran's, Ballybrown, and themselves. St. Kieran's on minus 11 points, Ballybrown on minus 18, but Garry Spillane on minus 26. So, like, they're 8 points worse off than Ballybrown. A Ballybrown side that, you must remember, pushed Castletown Ballygran all the way at the weekend. And I think Garry Spillane will end up in the relegation there. It could be confirmed on Friday night if they lose.
Yeah, and then moving into Group 2 then, Croke Kilfinnie topped the group. They're safely through with 4-4. They play Kilteely, who are in second. A win for Kilteely would push them through as the group winners, with Croke in second. However, a loss for Kilteely and a win for Patrickswell, they have a 4 points differential to overcome. They're on 5, Kilteely are on 7 points, we'll say. Patrickswell, any sort of margin of win, and Kilteely Dunkeen, a loss, we'll see Croke and Patrickswell go through. At the other end, then really it kind of comes down to a Skeeton versus Munger. The Skeeton are pointless thus far. Munger have 2 points, but they meet a win for a Skeeton. Could be enough. It could depend then on points differential, with all Christians also on 2 points. There's a lot to play for in that group. Who do you think will join Croke in going through, and who will move into relegation playoff?
It's really all to play for here. I'm sure Croke will want to go out of the group on a high. It's a top of the table clash with Kilteely Drumkeen. what you said is correct. Kilteely Drumkeen are on 7 points. Patrickswell are on 5 points. Were Kilteely Drumkeen to lose and Patrickswell to win, Then it goes down to points difference, not head-to-head in this case, because when they met, it was a draw. And at the moment, Kilkenny from Keane are 4 points better off in on scoring difference than Patrick's Well. So, Jack, you don't need to be Euclid or a mathematician to know that there's very, very little leeway for slippage there. All that could happen in the scenario of Kilkenny Drumkeen losing and Patrick's Well winning is that Kilkenny Drumkeen lose by a point and Patrick's Well win by a point. That would save Kilkenny Drumkeen. It's that fine. It really is up in the air between those two. Looking at the bottom, Jack, it looks as if it's a straight shootout between Mungret St. Paul's and Askeaton. Like, Mungret St. Paul's and Old Christians, they're on 2 points each. Askeaton have no points. No. Very, very interestingly, were Askeaton to beat Mungret St. Paul's and were Old Christians to lose to Patrick's Well, you'll have a scenario of three teams being on 2 points. And in such a case, it will be all Christians that will go into the relegation. And this is why Mungret St. Paul's are on -5, all Christians are on -25, and Askeaton are on -24. And our famous point win or point lose, Askeaton win by a point, all Christians lose by a point, they swap positions. And on scoring difference, it would be all Christians that would drop into the bottom. It's that tight.
Yeah, it's certainly tight in all these groups. And then when you look at group three, Cleary's win over Temple Glanton during the week has them through with 4 wins from 4. Obviously, Temple Glanton are in pole position to join them. You've Fianchaill Meath on 4 points and so are Ballybrick and Bohermore. And then at the bottom, it's Rakeel or Mona Lean that will go into a relegation playoff. Again, which teams do you see surviving and which teams do you see advancing?
Well, by my calculations, Jack, I reckon that nothing at this stage can save Rakeel because Mona Lean beat him. So even if Rakeel were to win and Mona Lean lose, Mona Lean are still good on the head-to-head.
Yeah, I think, you're right there by my calculations as well, but I wouldn't be taking mine for as gospel, that's fair.
That's now, Killeady are on 8 points, safely through. Now, you have Templin Lanton, you have them on 6, you have Fianchaill Meath on 4, you have Ballybricken on 4. This is a three-way battle for that second place. Now, were Ballybricken, Bohermore, to beat Templin Lanton, they will move to 6 points. Likewise, if Fianchaill Meath beat Mona Lean, they will move to 6 points. And in such a scenario, it will come down to points difference. And at the moment, you would have to say it's advantage Temple Lanton, who currently stand at +27. Fianchaill Meath are +1 and Ballybricken, Bohermore are -3. So, whatever happens, it's going to be very, very interesting. Now, were Temple Lanton to avoid defeat, they're safely through anyway. So, like, there is a bit to play for, but it is very, very hard to see Temple Lanton missing out on it will need a seismic change for him to lose out on second place. Stranger things have happened, Jack.
Yeah. And then obviously in the final group 4, Glahan are through, 4 wins from 4, their job is done. Then there's a real battle for second place. Stranbroith currently hold it with 6 points. Crocora are third with 5. Crocora play Glahan, who have been 100% thus far. They need to beat from Bradford, who had a huge win over Cahora during the week, that 21 points to 3-10 win. means that they have to lose and Cora have to beat Clahan for them to swap places. At the other end of the table, then you've Monaghan and Hahn on 2 points, and Saker Wallace are on a single point. Saker Wallace beat Monaghan and can avoid the drop with a win there. And conversely, then condemn a Hahn who are on minus 22 and would need a result. Again, even in the last group game, it's all play for all 16 in this group.
It is, but I think it's rather clear cut at the top, because if there was a defining game in this group, Jack, it was last Tuesday night when Drum Broadford dug out and came from behind to dug out that 3-point win against Cracora Malister, because like hadn't they done it, they would have been out in the championship. They'd now be sitting on 4 and Cracora Malister would be sitting on 7. At this point, I'm giving Cracora Malister really a very, very outside chance, Jack, because like you would have to fancy Drum Broadford against struggling Ahan. Ahan have struggled in this group. They haven't won yet under their belts. They've just got 2 draws. And I'm going for Drum Broadford to finish the job there. At the bottom, you're right. If the Staker Wallace get a win over Monaghan, it'll change it all at the bottom. It will put them up. It will put them up over Monaghan and Ahan. And if I recollect rightly, I think Ahan's draws were with Monaghan and definitely with the Staker Wallace. So if that be the case, you're looking at scoring difference.
Yeah.
In which scenario? Monaghan minus 11, Ahan and minus 22. Big gap to bridge. So if Port were defeated, so that's in the event of Staker Wallace winning. Now, was Staker Wallace to lose or to draw? Now, this is a permutation that could happen. If they were to draw and Ahan lose, they'd move up onto 2 points. They're also minus 11. And Ahan's minus 22. I think Ahan's minus 22 in scoring difference is likely to be the millstone around their neck that will take him into the relegation playoff.
Look,
if the Stakers avoid defeat, but if the Stakers are beaten, it's the Stakers into the relegation playoff.
Look, there's still an awful lot to be decided in that group with 12 games across the division, but we'll know it all for definite.
Well, you know, it would be remiss of us to say like that, not to say it. It's been an excellent competition.
Yeah, it has been. It has been fantastic. It's been a lot of very close games.
Because it's the first year of it on an all-county basis. It was on trial. Like, certainly, I can only just imagine to what extent it would have captured the imagination of the public if people were allowed to attend these matches. Like, there was massive games this week. Drum Broadford and Cracora Malister, Temple Lanton and Killady played behind closed doors. Massive, massive, massive games. But that has been the trend in these games all along. Like, there have been massive matchups of games, and unfortunately nobody in to see them.
Yeah, look, it's an awful pity, but the hurling has spoke for itself regardless of being able to get there to see it. That kind of concludes our hurling action for the weekend. We have the senior ladies football semi-finals. You have Ballylanders versus Monaghan in one semi-final, and then obviously you have champions St. Aylwys versus St. Bridget's in the other semi-finals. How do you fancy this one? There could be a repeat of last year's final, obviously. Do you fancy the champion to come through their game and be joined by Monaghan, who met in last year's final, or your own Ballylanders can cause an upset? Or
yeah, well, first of all, in the circumstances, Jack, it's a very well structured competition. There were six senior clubs took part in the competition. They were in two groups of three. Monaghan in their group had wins over Old Mill and St. Bridget's, and St. Bridget's in turn beat Old Mill. So it finished 1-2-3, a Mona Lee in St. Bridget's Old Mill. And then in the other group, St. Albies had wins over Fiona Castlemahon and over Ballylanders, and Ballylanders had a win over Fiona Castlemahon. So that ended at St. Albies 1, Ballylanders 2, Fiona Castlemahon 3. Now, there was no relegation. The system was that the teams that finished top of the group went into the semi-finals, and the other two had quarter-finals. So it meant that everybody got three games. Now, we had the quarter-finals in midweek, and Ballylanders had a huge win over Old Mill, and St. Bridget's had a win over Fiona Castlemahon, which sets up the semi-finals, which you have alluded to. And in Dune on Sunday, like you have the champions will put their title on the line against St. Bridget's. Now, it's not terrible long ago since St. Bridget's won the intermediate championship about 4 or 5 years ago. And they have a very strong structure in that club over there. And they're doing an awful lot of work right down through the age groups. And they're there certainly on merit. Now, the champions, the champions, St. Albies, they are a very, 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 very strong, competent outfit. They beat Fiona Castlemahon on their own patch, and very, very significantly went to Ballylanders in the second round and dug out a hard-fought win there. It showed the type of resilience that they have. It's very, very hard to see them not completing the job of qualifying for another county final on Sunday. Now, the other semi-final is on in Ballybrown between Ballylanders and Monaghan. Monaghan, of course, were runners-up last year. Ballylanders were runners-up in 2018 to Monaghan. So that will add a bit of spice to this one. You know, both sides, Jack, have been in good form. Ballylanders, we talked earlier on about the advantage of having a quarter-final. Monaghan have been idle for a number of weeks now. Since Monaghan last played, Ballylanders have played Albies because it was a third round game, and they've also played Old Mill. Now, they had a very, very comprehensive win over Old Mill. So, you know, but at least it was an outing. And I think this one has all the ingredients to be a cracker. You asking me how do I think it'll go?
Yeah, who can you, with your green mist, your Ballylanders mist, can you look against your own team?
No, I cannot.
You're expecting a Ballylanders and Albies final?
Yeah, I'm expecting Ballylanders to just about get there, but, you know, there's going to be nothing in it, Jack, but they have the motivation to avenge that final defeat, and they really, really, of 2 years ago, they really, really want to get a crack at Elvis. So, they have, you know, they have gone through a certain bit of transition since they won three in a row, and you know, are really focused. I fancy Ballylanders.
Look, we'll just have to wait and see this weekend to see who comes through. In the intermediate grade then, you've Drumcolour Broadford versus Oola and Maroochydore versus Mungret St. Paul's. Oola and Mungret St. Paul's will have the advantage of coming through quarterfinals during the week. But again, they come against teams that qualified there straight. How do you see these ones going?
I think it will go. I'm fancying Drum Broadford. And I fancy Maroochydore. You know, I think they top the groups for a reason. Drum Broadford have already met Oola, were comprehensive winners. Now, Mungret St. Paul's were beaten in the final last year. But, you know, they lost at home to Drum Broadford. in the group stages. I'm going for a drum broad for Marubo or final Jack.
Okay. And concluding the action, not necessarily this weekend, on Tuesday evening, you've meet Newcastle and Crenna Ballingarry in the Camogie semi-final. Obviously, the other semi-final played last week. Kilkenny booked their place. It could be a repeat of last year's final if Newcastle come through. Which way do you see that one going?
I think I have to fancy Newcastle West, Jack. Because they have been impressive winners in the group stages. Now, they went, they had a home game against Cora in the opening round, which they won. And in the second game, they were involved. They had Watermackey Park in a hand. A repeat of last year's final. A battle between the champions of the last 2 years. And in difficult conditions, difficult weather conditions that evening, last week, they dug out a very, very good result. And I'm fancying them because... But Crenna Ballingarry are all hands at this. Like Crenna Ballingarry struggled for quite a bit in the opening round to beat Na Piarsaigh on their own patch, but then went to Killeely and Killeely won there. So I honestly think that the momentum, even though Newcastle West are without Rebecca Delia, and like we saw what she brought to it last year with her free taking. Now, Katie Hurley seems to have taken over the mantle in that regard this year. So I'm going one way or the other. It's going to be an All West final, Jack. I'm going for Kennedy Newcastle West final. And what a final that should be! Near neighbours down there. So that's how I see it. And just to put the listeners the Camogie Championship into context or into perspective as to how it was run. And there were six teams like the ladies' football, two groups of three, but unlike the ladies' football, where all three went through to the knockout stages, only the top two went to the knockout stages in the Camogie Championship. They went through to the semi-finals. But the bottom team in each group, which in this case are Cora and the Piarsaigh, they will meet in the County B final on Sunday week.
Yeah, look, there's plenty more Camogie and ladies football action to come. That seems to wrap up.
Well, of course, there's the intermediate Camogie final Sunday week because it is Brough and Capamore. Last weekend, Brough went to Temple Lanton, dug out a win there, and Capamore were 14 points to 8 winners over Croke Kilfinnie in Capamore. So they will be meeting in the Bog Garden in the county intermediate final on Sunday week. And that now they have already met in the championship in Capamore, and I know we'll probably be talking about it more next week when Capamore got the verdict. So that is a mouth-watering prospect to look forward to.
Look, yeah, there's a lot of mouth-watering prospects next weekend. You'll have obviously the senior hurling final will probably be the flagship return of the football Camogie final. There's so many things on for decision next weekend. But that would be a miss of us to look past this weekend. There are so many games to look forward to. You obviously, for Limerick GATV, you've both senior semi-finals and the Premier Intermediate final. It's so worth the money to invest in those games. They promised to be cracking games. We've ran through all the games, Matt. I'm exhausted after doing it, but I can't wait for another brilliant weekend of Limerick GAA action. Many thanks for you for your participation again. And we'll be back next week with so much more games. Look forward to and these games look back on.
Thanks, Jack.